Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. The Let's Get Busy podcast is produced in part by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com. Welcome to Let's Get Busy, a weekly podcast where I talk shop and get down to business with authors, illustrators, award winners, up-and-comers, and everyone in between. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 246 of the podcast with Faith Erin Hicks, author, cartoonist, most recently of The Nameless City. Faith and I talk comics on this conversation, and it makes me so excited for the readers we have visiting libraries and bookstores today. Not only will they find Faith's exceptional graphic novels, but they'll also find comics created by people who are literally making the comics they wish were around when they were kids. How cool is that? And when those kids find The Nameless City, oh man, I am jealous of the feeling they'll have reading it for the first time. Enjoy this conversation and all of the great graphic novels it spurs you to read. Here is episode number 246 of the podcast with Faith Erin Hicks. Let's get busy. Welcome to the podcast, Faith Erin Hicks. I'm excited, one, to be talking to you today, and two, to actually be recording the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for recording me.
Boy, if it weren't for technology. But isn't it great that we're connected? You're all the way up in Canada, and I get to talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. Technology is wonderful.
Faith, congratulations on the release of your new book, The Nameless City. By the time this posts, it will be published. First, second, I'm super excited that Gina sent me a copy. I like your work. I was telling you before recording, or I was telling you while I thought we were recording, that I like your work, and that in my elementary school library, my kids are obsessed with Bigfoot Boy, and among other things. And I'm just really glad to see more coming out, of course, but just this is, it's an awesome story. It's very cinematic and super fun. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really excited for it to come out. And, you know, like I said before that recording hiccup, it's been a very long road to reach this point. This book's been in production for, oh gosh, quite a while. And it's super exciting to finally see readers respond to it. And yeah, I'm really hopeful for this book, and I hope people enjoy it.
Wait, how long has this process been for you? I know, like, when I talk to other authors and illustrators, that it can take like what, 3 or 4 years to publish a book. But for you, you're drawing several thousand drawings. I know it might not actually be that, but that's a lot to draw. And I know that Jordy colored, but still that's a ton of work.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like comics are, they're like running a marathon, you know, and when you get the chance to do a graphic novel, it's literally, you know, I just finished the second Nameless City book. I just finished it last Saturday, and yeah, I felt like I ran a marathon. It was just this very long, very grueling process, but it's something I really enjoy. Nameless City was something that, I mean, like physically drawing it, so, you know, the time from when I sat down to draw it to the time when I finished was probably about a year, you know, including writing the script. But it had been around a lot longer than that. You know, I actually found these very old sketches of the characters as in sketchbooks as far back as 2007. And at the time it was just this random story idea that I had. I really wanted to do like an action adventure story starring a couple of kids from the opposite side of a political conflict. But like I wasn't really sure it was something that would ever be publishable. So yeah, it's been in the process for a very, very long time.
I don't mean to say it the wrong way, but I love that. I love to see your doubt in this book, 'cause I read it and go like, I can't wait to talk to Faith tonight, 'cause I'm sure she's going to tell me about like movie deals or something
Oh
ridiculous,
gosh.
because it's just your story is just cinematic that way. And I really like the relationship of your characters, and I want to give you a chance to sort of share what the book is, a summary of the story. But I do want to jump in and just say that this idea that there's this city people generation after generation or civilization after civilization have tried to conquer it and name it, but the city sort of lives on beyond history, places it already in this place that I feel like you're rooting the story in unstable ground for your readers, and that to enter a story that way is really exciting.
Oh, thank you. It was something that I was interested in. Some of the story came out of historical research that I did. I read a number of nonfiction books about the Yuan Dynasty of 13th and 14th century China that I found very interesting. I had also read a number of books about the Silk Road, which was also interesting to me in the sense that you had all these different cultures, this trail of commerce basically that went through, hundreds of different countries, all these different cultures, all these different people interacting, basically under the banner of making a living, right? So that was very interesting to me. So I liked the idea of taking this place where basically commerce happens. So, this city where, all of the trade happens, all of the money in this world flows through, and making this like a very desirable city for conquering nations to own, because then, they benefit from it financially. And then, like what sort of people would live in this city? So this sounds kind of complicated for, what is basically a kid's graphic novel series, but I liked the idea of having these two children thrown together in this very complicated political backdrop, and then like having to de them having to deal with the complexity of this world that they live in, but then also the fact that they kind of like each other, like they're from opposite sides of this political conflict, but at the same time they do kind of click on a very basic level. So yeah, that's the story kind of in a nutshell.
Well, I think that it's because you know the world so well, you know the city so well, that it's not overcomplicated for children in, well, not that you said it that way, but more when I read it and I think of the kids that will be reading it, to me I more see that they're going to have questions, but that you have the answers to those questions, or the answers are in your illustration or in the relationship the characters have or these other characters have to your two main protagonists. So it feels like all of the extra world that you've conceived all pays out, even if it
Good.
doesn't pay out in writing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, like, I mean, I know when I set out to do this book, it was like I'd never done a book that was like where I was building my own world from the ground up. And I did take a lot from history. And I thought it was very important for me to do a lot of research and to put like specific research into the book. But at the same time, it was like for all the research that I did, like I'd say like 0.01% of it actually made it into the story. Like I think it's there in the foundations of the story, and so it gives the story depth depth and weight, and a sense of realism. But it's not something. It's not like you never want a scene where you have basically characters sort of stand there and like exposition at each other, because that's so deadly to read, as a reader. It's just incredibly boring. So anyway, that's good to hear that it came across that way. Hopefully I wasn't heavy-handed in terms of the world building, but yeah, like I mostly wanted it to be about the relationship between these two kids and have the world sort of build up around them.
I think you pull it off well, and I think that,
Yay.
yeah, it's just it's more complex. It feels like a grown-up story. It feels like a book that when I give my fourth and fifth graders, they're going to be like, "Oh, are you giving me something that's not supposed to be in this library?" It's just a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, I feel like it pairs so well with something like, I don't know, I'm going to say one in a second that I think it pairs even better well more with, but I think of like the Nathan Hale books, the Hazardous Tale books,
Oh,
where
yeah, sure.
these are kids reading history that often I think his books are their entryway to history.
Yeah,
And so
for sure.
there's a lot of really complex ideas going on, and he just handles it probably from doing, a million hours of research like you do, and then figuring out where's the story in all of this, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But in that same complexity, I think of I can't think of the author, but that great book, The Unsinkable Walker Bean,
Oh, yeah.
that graphic, and that.
Aaron, shoot, what's his last name? I can't quite remember.
I'll tag it in the show notes. All I
Yeah.
can think of is Aaron Starmer, who is not the right person. He wrote a great novel, but not that guy. Anyway, but yeah, I think of that, and I think of like again, you have kids in this setting that is very grown up, but
Yeah.
yet that's all of our kids live in settings that are really, really grown up. As a teacher, when I find out the home life of some of my kids, it
Oh,
just
yeah.
makes me feel like, my word, this is what you're living in. So yeah, they're equipped for it. And even in a book that is set in sort of like a historical setting like this, you still get that connection to their life now. And that,
Okay.
I mean, that's good on you. Good
Well,
storytelling.
thank you. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm excited to see where it goes. I don't want you to spoil all. Of course, I know you won't, but are you able to give us any sense of are we following the same characters as we move forward? Are we?
Yes. Yep. It will. So the entire story, it is about the two main characters in the first book. It's about Rat and Kai.
Yeah.
And it's basically their character arcs. You know, Rat has to deal with the damage that she suffered as a result of Kai's people
Yes.
conquering the city, you know. And then Kai has to deal with being a part of a nation of conquerors. And that's, you know, we follow their arcs throughout the three books. So yeah, it's basically all about them for the entire trilogy.
Well, Kai dealing with like the idea that you're trying to sort of not make a name for yourself, but you're trying to fit in with your peers, and yet your dad is like this big deal guy. Yeah. Man, Rat though, she's a kid that I want my girls to be, that I want my students to see. And I think they're growing up in such a good time for comics, in such a good
Oh
time for
yeah, for
reading
sure.
that they've got that. But yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I've seen a lot of changes in comics over the last, oh gosh, 15, 10, 15 years, maybe even going back 20 years. And it's like I wish what was being published now was being published when I was a teenager, because like I was really attracted to comics at that age, and I would read like newspaper comics, like Calvin and Hobbes and that kind of thing. And I would, go to my local library and get like, I don't know, like this, the 741 section, right? And I would get like, whatever they had there, but it would be like the odd collection of like Superman or Batman or whatever. And that was not really what I wanted to read. Like I wanted like, comics about girls and their adventures and that kind of thing. And I don't know, I look at what's being published nowadays, and it's just like it's incredible the wealth of diversity we have out there. Now, of course, we need more, like
Yeah.
the there are the, we could always use more diversity in comics, but
Isn't
yeah, it's really incredible. It's really great, and it's a good time to be a comics reader. There's a lot of great stuff out there.
And isn't it sort of too, you're getting that all of us, all of you as well, that grew up reading comics, you're creating the library of stories that you wanted to have when you were a kid. Like, you're the one doing it.
Oh
You grew up
yeah.
to make comics. Imagine our girls growing up to make comics. They're going to be influenced by seeing themselves in comics. It's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, I've kind of like I've been fortunate that I've been able to make that my goal in comics, to make the kind of comics that I want to read, and I realize that not everyone gets that opportunity. I've been fortunate enough that, my work has been salable. Publishers have wanted to work with me, have seen, value in my work, and that's been really incredible. But yeah, like especially Nameless City, which is very much, a comic that I would have loved when I was 11 years old. Like it has this sort of like tomboyish girl character and, like this kind of slightly goofy, slightly dorky guy character, and like there's action and running and drama and that kind of thing. Like it's exactly the comic that I would have loved it when I was 11, and like I'm very fortunate that I've been able to make it.
She's got so much like grit,
Oh, thanks.
and yeah, that when you see those scenes when she sort of puts her shoulders down and relaxes and
Yeah.
smiles, it's really sort of, I mean, it's wonderful to see that, like, look at this kid that is just tough,
Yeah.
and she's there, and Kai just sort of like always chasing
Yeah.
after her, trying to keep up. I love it. I love it so much. Oh my word.
Thanks. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's really nice to hear. I don't know, it's been really nice. Like I've had a few advance copies. My publisher sends me a few copies before publication, and
Yeah.
I've been able to, give them to a couple friends and just, get a reaction, because it's like, when you do a graphic novel before publication, it's just you and your editor working on it. So you don't actually know how people are going to respond to it. But,
No, you don't.
overwhelmingly, the people who have read the book have said that they really enjoy the characters. And, that's incredibly exciting to me to hear. That's what I set out to make a story where, people just get the chance to really engage with my characters.
Have you had a chance to get in front of kids yet?
No, I
I
haven't.
mean, that's coming soon. I know you said you're going on tour for the book, right?
So we'll see. I'm going on tour like April 1st, which is extremely soon. I'll be traveling across the US and Canada, and then I have a bunch of conventions that I'm going to through April and May, which is exciting and scary. I'm a little out of practice with going to conventions, but yeah, it'll be good.
Yay. I'm sure all of the cartoonists that come on this podcast get tired of hearing this question asked, but I'm obsessed with this idea because you make things. Okay, I'm just gonna say it.
Okay.
You make books that kids can cause. They can come to conventions and cosplay as your characters, and that's the greatest
Yep.
thing ever. I talked to Ben Hatke about it. Every time that I get a chance, I'm always like, did more kids dress up as Zeta again? Because it's just, that's amazing to me.
Well, Zeta especially, like I feel like that character in particular is kind of, I don't know, struck a nerve for, like young, like middle school girl readers. I don't know. There's just something really special about seeing a little girl dressed up as Zeta. I don't know. Those books are pretty perfect. And Ben is an amazing guy.
You've been published through a lot of the big publishers. I know Dark Horse has done some stuff for you, and Kids Can Press is where I know Bigfoot Boy, and First Second, of course, is like, I mean, the I think we all I think the world loves First Second. They're sort of a, yeah, they I don't know. It's nice to see you represented across so many different publishers in the way that then your books obviously can reach more people, which is I don't know where I'm going with this. Just that
Yeah, like it's great. Like I know I actually did an interview earlier today. And they asked me just about working in different genres, and like that's actually been really good. I like diversity in my work, and I like the chance to work with different publishers and to do different types of stories. Because I did a couple I've had a couple projects at Dark Horse. They published my book Superhero Girl, which won an Eisner, which was awesome.
Congratulations on that. Right,
Thank you.
right.
Yeah, that was really unexpected and really wonderful. But I also did, this video game
I
comic
was gonna bring it up.
for,
You were like
yeah, The
running down
Last
all
of
of the
Us.
notes. No doubt. How in the world do you get to do a comic for The Last of Us?
It was very strange. They actually offered me the job. Apparently the game's writer, Neil Druckmann, who wrote the comic with me, apparently he'd read Friends with Boys and liked it, and was like,
Holy cow.
when Dark Horse approached Naughty Dog about, making a comic for The Last of Us, my name was basically on the list. So, you know, I pitched for the project and, you know, drew up some illustrations of Ellie and set in the Last of Us world and got the job based on that, which was really cool. But, you know, like that was very genre orientated.
Where does
You
that
know,
fit in the...
very grim and gritty.
That game is
so
amazing.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say, where does that fit into the timeline of the game coming out? Was it... Because I didn't read it until recently-ish.
It was published like the year that the game came out. It was like it was a 4-issue series.
Yeah.
So I want to say like the comic was actually out. It was already published by the time the game came out, but I don't think that was intentional. Like I think it was actually supposed to be published like the first issue was supposed to be published like right when the game came out, but then the game got pushed back because, you know, video games, right?
No, no doubt. Especially that game that won like every award. That was an amazing game.
Award.
Well, I mean, so here's the through line for me. You just mentioned about working in different genres, which I think is true. But I also think for all that I've read like half of your stuff. And you, Faith, you're a person that loves character and you love your characters. But I feel like no matter what genre you're writing in, which does affect the story, your readers must know you and must rely on you to develop these good characters that we will understand. I mean, by Nameless City, I think a quarter of the way through the story, I knew Kai. I knew who this person was.
Oh, awesome.
And that's from you knowing you taking the time to develop these characters, or maybe you are just a person that is, I don't know, some sort of an empathetic being that you just get people and can pour that into your characters. But that's sort of your stamp on writing,
oh,
I feel
you.
Like. Yeah.
I mean, I thank you for noticing. Yeah, that's an incredibly kind thing to say. I always feel a little embarrassed talking about like what are your strengths as a cartoonist, but
let other people tell you your strengths.
I mean, like I do feel like you know, that's something I'm very concerned with when I do comics, when I write, when I draw. I really want to put the reader in the shoes of the character. I want them to feel what the character is feeling. You know, like that's really important to me. And I mean, you know, like you mentioned empathy, right? And, you know, I do think that's important as a writer. You know, like you have to have maybe empathy for these characters. And, you know, like the good and bad characters, you know, like there's characters in Nameless City who are jerks or who are murderers. And, you know, like I think it's important to have empathy for them, although maybe not sympathy.
Yes.
So yeah, like I am very concerned with that in my work. You know, I feel like it's an important component of comics, and it's maybe something that isn't emphasized enough. But I also feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's kind of like a new school of comics that seems to be flourishing right now. And it's definitely a way of approaching comics that's, you know, very influenced by, say, manga. So there's a lot more decompression, a lot more emotion on the page. And that's, you know, that's very exciting to see because it's something that I personally enjoy a lot.
So when you... One, that's awesome. It's so great to see that it's intentional, that these characters are coming out the way they are. It has to be intentional. It doesn't make sense any other way for it to be that way. But what I get from that too, having talked to so many people through this podcast, is that I know then that this must mean that you're that type of a person too. So I think of kids coming up and meeting you and knowing like the person they're meeting is someone that gets them, because you get your characters and you just get people, at least for all that I understand you from your writing. And so that I feel like how incredibly lucky they must be that they're reading your books and then knowing your stories that way. There's that person waiting behind those stories to greet them. That's a really great thing, I think, for them.
Well, I mean, hopefully. I always feel like I'm a little bit disappointing in person.
Oh no.
I mean, we all feel that.
I understand.
I mean, hopefully, like I enjoy meeting my readers. I'm kind of shy, to be honest. So yeah, like I always try. I mean, I remember what it's like to be, I don't know, to be, you know, even though I'm an adult and I'm many years out of adolescence, like I remember what it's like to be like weird and awkward and that kind of thing. So,
When did you start to draw
you know, I
comics?
always try to feel empathy for my readers who are probably, you know, going through a lot of crap because, you know, like they're kids and they're teens, and that's a really hard period of your life.
When did you start drawing comics? When did you start working out story ideas in comics? I know you said you went to the library and were reading, whatever you could get your hands on, Batman and stuff, but did you start drawing then too?
No, I didn't. Like I don't know. Like I drew as a kid, but it was like it wasn't, I don't know. I drew like a kid. So, you know, like I wasn't really aware of things like skill. So, you know, like I or you know, like trying to make a drawing that was a good drawing, right? Like I just drew like I was a kid or drew like a kid, I guess. Honestly, what I was more interested in as a teenager was writing. So, you know, for many years, I really wanted to be a writer. You know, that was my goal when I was 16. I was going to write novels. I was going to become, you know, like a best-selling author and that kind
Really?
of thing. Oh, yeah.
That's
Yeah.
awesome.
Like, I had like all these stories. I had this notebook in high school that I wrote down all the titles of all the books that I was going to write. So, yeah, like, I was super into writing, and I didn't really start drawing until my like very late teens. Like, I want to say, like, 18 or 19, and then almost immediately started doing comics, and I don't really know why. I you know comics were something, it was a medium that I was very attracted to, but you know like I had my drawing skills were so rudimentary. Like I had very basic drawing skills. I was not good at it at all, and I didn't have a lot of experience reading comics. But the internet was like right there, you know. This was like the late, you know, the very late 90s, very end of the 90s, and very early aughts. And I would go online and I would find web comics, and there were all these people doing web comics, and it was like a very, very easy way to have access to this art form, which was wonderful, you know, because I was always so attracted to comics, but didn't actually have access to them. You know, I mean, like it's insane now how much better the access is to comics. Like you find them in schools, you find them in libraries, you find them in bookstores. But you know, like, gosh, only like, you know, 15 years ago, there was like, oh, it was just a wasteland. There was like no comics anywhere if, you know, if you were a young person.
I remember having to drive over. Well, I used to live in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and we would drive over the Market Street Bridge, my friend and I, to go to the comic shop that was over there, and that was it. And I
And it was
can.
also like money was also a problem because it's like, you know, you just don't have a lot of money when you're a
No, so to
teenager,
read them, the thing that you either had to buy or you had to hope that your friends would share with you was, yeah, it's
And then
different.
so like going online was such a big deal because it was like there were free comics online and you could read as much as you wanted, and like to be honest, most of them were so bad. You know, like now it's like, you know, there are comics online that are professional quality that update like 5 times a week. They're fully colored. They're amazing. But yeah, like back in like the very early aughts, it's like everything was crap. And my work included, you know, like my work included. I made some really ugly comics back then, but just by being online and posting pages regularly, I was able to gain a readership because, you know, people were just so desperate for content.
Yeah, you just had to be there. Sometimes you just need to show up, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that was exactly it. So that was really when I started making comics. And then I continued, you know, continued doing web comics all throughout college, and then graduated and thought that I would basically have a career in animation, which was what I went to college for. And did animation for about 4 years, and then basically the economy crashed, which was awful. And my job went away, which because of the crash. But by then I was starting to get paid to do comics. My work was good enough that it actually attracted publishers. So I was able to transition into doing comics full time. And yeah, that was 2008. So I've been doing comics full time for 8 years. Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
Goodness, good on
Yeah.
ya.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been really great. I appreciate everyone supporting me by buying my books.
Have you held on to those early stories that you used to write in middle school, high school, that early time?
Not really, to be honest. Yeah, like they were really
No
dorky.
good. I bring it up because, I mean, literally, before I called you, I'm washing the dishes, listening to this podcast that comes out of Canada called Grown Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids.
Oh
And
my gosh.
it's the greatest. And it's that, like, reading from diary entries and reading from journals and homework assignments and all that that somehow
My
have
goodness.
just somebody kept somewhere. But
Yeah.
it's a show that tours all over Canada. So I,
Oh man, that sounds awesome.
yeah.
Wow, I'm gonna have to look that up.
You
That
will need to
sounds
look it up because they go to Vancouver a lot. So
What is it called?
it's
Sorry, what is
called
it called?
Grown Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids.
Oh my gosh.
I'm
Man, I
obsessed.
wish
It's
I
crazy.
honestly I do kind of wish like I still had some of that stuff because like my big thing was I was like super into horses and super into unicorns. So it was like I wrote this story that was like huge and it was about a girl and her like unicorn sidekick and they like save the world and stuff like that. It was amazing. Oh my gosh. And I wrote it. Like I wrote like you know like wrote by hand. I wrote the you know chapters and chapters of this nonsense.
Oh, that's amazing. And
So
you
yeah,
remember
like
it because you went through the act
literally
of
like
doing
none of my stuff from like middle school or high school is worth anything.
it's worth a laugh, and especially to see
Yes.
where you've come.
Oh yeah,
Well,
totally. Yeah.
I'm glad that comics have been so good for you, and that are so good to you, I suppose I should say, and that this readership has been great to you too, that you've got kids growing up into your books, as well as kids, younger kids that are reading, like my kids, reading Bigfoot Boy, knowing that there's something to go into next. That's cool.
Yeah, it's been really great.
Congratulations as well on this
Thank you.
3-book deal for The Nameless City. It's a wonderful book. I really love it, and I'm glad that well, just knowing that good comics are out there, knowing that here's another great book that I can share with my kids that they're just going to devour and put on holds and make me buy like many multiple copies because they're never on the shelf.
That's awesome to hear. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Good problems, good problems. Well, Faith, as I wrap up my time with you, I have a closing question. I'm going to give you the last word, but you can take this however you want, metaphorically or literally, as it were. But here it is. I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning. And I'd love to know what message you would like for me to bring them from you.
I guess read and enjoy your st you know read and enjoy comics, I guess. I'm sorry, I don't really have anything particularly inspiring to say. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's something to that needs to be emphasized with kids. Like I remember loving comics as a kid, but also being on a lot of levels kind of ashamed of them. You know, this sense of that comics were maybe less than books. And I read a ton of books too. But I remember being like kind of ashamed of my attraction to comics. And like one thing I see that's very exciting is seeing people advocate for comics, you know, teachers and librarians and saying that, you know, like this is a valid art form and this is something that kids should be free to read and free to enjoy. So I guess that's my dorky message is, you know, feel free to enjoy comics, feel free to read them. You know, comics are there made for you.
Let's Get Busy is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland, and by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton and The Best Book Ever This Week. Our theme music is by Blue Ducks. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. and that is a very good thing indeed. Next up on Let's Get Busy, Peter Brown makes his debut on this podcast to share the story behind The Wild Robot, his debut middle grade novel. And after that, Dan Santat returns to talk about Are We There Yet?, his brand new picture book that I promise will literally make you look at picture books in a whole new way. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.